Look how colorful.
Back to school, man.
That's right, Tracy. Back to school. Class is going to be in session today. The title of the message is Learn, Unlearn, and Relearn. Come on. I know some of you are going, what the heck does that mean? But, well, just follow me. Follow me, man, because I'm telling you, I was going to skip this section because we read the story we're going to read today. We read last week. It's just Peter repeating the story to a bunch of circumcised believers, as we will see, all right? But here's the deal. In my ear, Tracy, I could hear, where you got to be? And she's right, man. So I began to read over these 18 verses and read over these 18 verses, and God began to show me something that I have never seen before. And I'm always excited to share something with you that God has shared with me. Amen. That's what I want to do today. So I want you to think about those words, because there are things that you and I need to learn. Would we agree with that? Come on.
Yes.
Are there some things in your life you need to unlearn?
Yes.
And are there some things in your life you need to relearn?
Yes.
Come on. So today, that's what we're going to look at. And I'm going to show you through a person in the Bible exactly that principle that God is showing us today. It will be absolutely unavoidable to see the picture that I'm going to paint for you today, unless you do not have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Right? Because this is going to be foolishness to those who have not the Holy Spirit. But here's good news.
Woo!
You can get the Holy Spirit before you leave.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Just by putting your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That name that we were singing about. There's power, power in that name. There's power in that name to deliver you from hell into an inheritance, a kingdom of God. Right? Man, I'm thankful. I'm thankful, man. I am so thankful for what God has done in my life and what he has brought me out of. Right? What he has delivered me from, redeemed me from. Listen to me. I want to repeat something to you. I said something to somebody yesterday. God is real.
Amen.
God is real.
Yes, he is.
Man, and he'll show that to you, and he'll prove that to you, because if you ask, it shall be given. If you seek, you shall find. Amen. If you knock, the door shall be opened. How close do you want to get to God? How close, how intimate do you want to get with God? Because there are no limits.
Nope.
There are no limits to how close we can get to God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you today for your goodness, your mercy, your forgiveness. Lord, I thank you for my salvation. Lord, I get it. I'm so thankful for what you've brought me from, delivered me from, the salvation that I have that is in my Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord. I thank you for each person here today. I thank you for those who are watching via live stream, Lord. And I just ask for a blessing in each of our lives and each of our hearts today, Lord, as we go through your word. And Lord, I know that this word will not return void, because your word promises it will accomplish that for which it was sent for. So Lord, now we have an opportunity, all of us, to put on our ears to hear, to forget about what's going on, what struggles we may be going through, what situations we may be dealing with. Lord, I'm gonna do what the song says. And over those things in these people's lives, all of our lives, I'm going to say the name of Jesus. Over every problem, every struggle, every circumstance, every situation, Lord, there is power in that name of Jesus. And Lord, show us Jesus today, because ultimately we are here to honor, glorify, and lift up the name of Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so if you got your Bibles, we are going to be in Acts chapter 11, and it is a really good story. If you remember in Acts chapter 10, it was a fabulous story, and last week it was called The Keys of the Kingdom, and we've seen how Jesus had promised to give Peter the keys of the kingdom, and he unlocked it for the Jews in chapter 2. He unlocked the kingdom for the Samaritans in chapter 8. And then we got to see in chapter 10 last week, where he unlocked the key, used the key, or gave him the key to unlock the kingdom of heaven. In other words, to be saved, right? But the story was a very, very unique story. How he prepared, right? Cornelius was a godly man who prayed and gave, and how his alms, the Bible says, and his prayers went up before God as a sweet incense, right? And he tells the angel of the Lord appears to him, and he tells Cornelius to send men to Joppa and go get Peter, right? Because Peter has some words that I want him to speak to you. All right? Now listen. God knows Cornelius needs something, but he also knows Peter needs an attitude adjustment, right? We talked about that last week. So while Cornelius' men are coming from Joppa, Peter goes into a trance. You follow me? You remember from last week? He goes into a trance and he sees this sheep coming down out of heaven. And in that sheep are animals, unclean and clean animals, all together. Listen, he would have been repulsed at that. And then a voice comes and says, "Rise up, Peter, eat." And what did he say? He said, "Surely not. For nothing, I have never ate anything unclean." And then here's what the voice came back and said. "What I have declared clean, let no man declare unclean or impure." And that happened how many times? Three times. There's something about three times with Peter. Think about it. How many times did he deny Christ? No one cried. How many times did Christ have to tell him to feed his sheep? How many times does the sheep have to come down? I think that was just another way of God letting Peter know, that's me telling you this.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Three times it came down. So what did Peter do, man, as he was coming out of that trance? There was people at the gate. Right? Here's what I want you to know. The original story we got. When the people get to the gate, right? And Peter's at the gate. Peter says, "Why are you here?" The story is repeated again. All right? And then Peter goes to Cornelius' house, and the question is asked, and the story is repeated again. And here in chapter 11, we're fixing to read the story again. Yvonne said something in Bible study, and she is absolutely 100% right. When God repeats something over and over and over, it's because we really, really, really,
really,
really need to get it. And not only that, but it's such a diverse or dynamic story that there's a lot of different ways to look at it. Come on, man. We want to get all them. We want to look at it from every direction. We don't want to miss anything. Right? So today, that is what we are going to do. And you'll see it is a repetition of the story from last week. But there's a couple things in there that are very important that God needs us to know. So let's read verses 1 through 18. If you got your Bibles and you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Man, look how colorful I am today. Back to school. Shirt too, man. Come on, colorful. All right, here we go. "The apostles and the believers throughout Judah heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God." What is he talking about there? When Peter went to Cornelius' house and he preached the word of God, the Holy Spirit fell on them. They got saved. And then they were baptized. Come on, they were Gentiles. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers. What is a circumcised believer? A circumcised believer is someone who has converted, come on, from Judaism to Christianity. They were under, yes, proselyte. And we're going to talk about that here in a few minutes. "And said, 'You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them?'" I want you to hear it, how they're, you know what I mean? Put yourself in the position. I mean, just like, how dare you go into a Gentile's house, right? All right, verse 4. "Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story." I love that. I love that right there. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it, and I saw four-footed animals of the earth wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, get up, Peter, kill, and eat. In your Bible, what color are them letters? Ooh, who's that? I replied, surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth. The voice spoke from heaven a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit of the Lord told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers, everybody say six brothers, also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.
Amen.
As I began to speak, this is Peter speaking, man. As he began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us in the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Praise God for the Holy Spirit. Verse 17. So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? Oh, there's a lesson in there, my friends. There's a lesson in there. Verse 18. When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then, even the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. Man, praise God. I'm a Gentile.
Amen.
Huh? I'm a Gentile, so I'm so thankful that God extended that out to the Gentiles. So I want you to notice something here. If you remember at the end of chapter 10 that Peter stayed in Cornelius' house for a few days. So what happened here is the word got back to the circumcised believers, the apostles and the believers, as we read here in chapter 11, before Peter got there. So when Peter gets there, they call him. They call him to the carpet, right? They call him to the carpet, and they begin to ask him about what are you talking about? Why did you go in this Gentile's house? I want you to pay attention. This is going to be very important. Their understanding, their perception is going to be very important. So instead of a celebration, which it should have been, God is saving people. There should have been a celebration, but instead we have a confrontation. We have a conflict, right, going on, and as they question Peter, because going into these Gentiles' house in this culture was absolutely unacceptable. Unacceptable, all right? He never should have gone into the house of a Gentile. Now, our understanding of the context here is very important, because the Jewish believers, these Jewish believers, even though they're circumcised believers, had been brought up in Judaism, had been brought up under the law, even though they had converted to Christianity, right? So they were used to practicing Judaism. Here's what they believed. They believed that there was going to be a Jewish Messiah, right? And absolutely, he did. He was a Jewish Messiah, right? But here's what they believed, that the Jewish Messiah would come and he would only be their Messiah. All right? Make no mistake about it, that the foreigners and the Gentiles and the Samaritans, none of them would have a part in what this Messiah, this Jewish Messiah, was going to come and what he was going to accomplish. And we know most of the Jews in that day thought when the Messiah came, he was going to come as a conquering, leader, military leader. But, Isaiah, the prophets are clear. First, he comes as a suffering lamb of God, right? So, now you could believe in Israel's God, and as Cynthia mentioned, you could convert to Jewish or Judaism simply by going through a ceremony and being baptized and some other things, and you would be a proselyte. but you would also be required to follow the Mosaic law as well as their traditions and their customs. Now here's the deal. You know people still do that today? Convert to Judaism. In other words, what they're really doing is they are bringing themselves up under the law, right? Now here's why it don't make sense to me. Because before you convert to Judaism, you're already under the law. Because either you're under the law or you're under grace. I don't care where you're from. Come on. You understand what I'm saying? So it doesn't really make no sense to convert to Judaism and try to, and then come up under the law and have to abide by all these customs and all these traditions of the Jewish belief or the Jewish religion. Because remember, in Israel, there are Messianic Jews who believe in Jesus, but primarily they do not believe the Messiah has came, and they do not believe that Jesus is the Messiah. They are still waiting. Amen? All right. So up until this, up until now, there's no way that a Jew would interact with a Gentile in this way. No way would he go to his house. No way would he go eat with him, right? No way would that happen. Now, I want to remind you of something that Jesus said. Now, listen, because this is something that God showed me that I had never put together before. But if you remember, two things he said, Jesus, one in Matthew 28 and one in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And I want to read the first one to you. And I just want to read the portion that you need to hear. And this comes from the Great Commission, right? Now, Jesus is saying this. And this is the last thing in book of Matthew that he says. Okay, follow me. Follow me. So if this is the last thing in the book of Matthew that he says, who is he talking to? Jews, apostles, disciples, Jewish people. All right, come on. We just seen the first recorded Gentile saved in Acts chapter 10. Okay? This is after the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus before the ascension, okay? And he said this, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to obey all things I commanded you. But here's the deal. He's telling them, do you know Jesus always lays foundation, Pat? He's telling them that you're going to go make disciples of what? Do you think that then, as he's talking to these Jewish people, do you think he means Gentiles, Samaritans too? You think that's what he means when he says all nations? Absolutely, that's what he means. But listen to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when he says this again. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and what? To the ends of the earth. Again, he's talking to Jewish people, disciples, apostles. Here's the deal. If he told them that, and this ain't the only time, two times he told them that, amen? How come they don't get it? How come they never got it? How come they don't get that when he said to the ends of the earth that he meant all people? How come when he said all nations that they don't get that he meant all people? Here's why. The law was so ingrained in them, all right? They believed they were this superior people. You understand what I'm saying? They really did believe that. And that Jewish Messiah, when it said all nations, when it said to the ends of the earth, that they truly believed that it was only talking about the Jews. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, follow me. That's why the Lord had to change Peter's heart. All right? Because we know from the story last week, Peter said, I ain't doing it. Right? I'm not going to that Gentile's house. I'm not going to that Gentile's house. I'm not going to eat with that Gentile. Matter of fact, he's told him that, didn't he? He said, look, you know this is not acceptable for a Jew to be in a Gentile's house. He said that in last week's verses, right? He repeated it three times so Peter would understand it. Remember, he also nudged him being the Holy Spirit, right? And that's why the miraculous sign of the Holy Spirit being poured out on these Gentiles believers. That's why that happened too. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, listen, it validated the faith that they had right? And that God had accepted that faith. That's why the Holy Spirit was poured out. It validated what they believed. Because you had the Holy Spirit. So that means God was accepting them because of their faith, right? Now, last week we learned that when Peter was headed to Cornelius' house, he took some brothers with him, right? We talked about that for witnesses and accountability. And then here in chapter 11, verse 12, we see that he had six. I love that. Here's why. Because Peter is standing there and he is telling these guys, hey, this is what God is doing. This is what God did. But he's not alone. Praise God, he is not alone. He has six brothers with him who are standing there, witnesses. Right? Now we know why those six other guys were so important. And by the way, Peter made seven. I love that number in the Bible. What does seven mean? Completion, man. It means completion. So God received these Gentiles believers the same way he received the Jews back in Acts chapter 2, right? What? By faith. The same way he received the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8. What? By faith. The same way he received you and I. By faith. And the same way he received these Gentiles here today. You say, well, what do you mean, Pastor? Listen, they heard the gospel. They heard the truth. They understood the truth. And they accepted the truth and put their trust in Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the way you get saved. That's the way the Jews got saved, Samaritans got saved, you got saved, and the way that the Gentiles got saved as well. Amen? You follow me? All right. You say, how does this learn and relearn and unlearn? Follow me. I'm getting there. All right. I'm going to read verse 4 to you because I really like this. He said, starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. You know what? Sometimes you just need to start from the beginning. Sometimes I just need to know the whole story. Right? Amen? Sometimes I just need to know what you used to be. And sometimes I need to know what God has made you today. So Peter explained his vision, and even he tells them his initial opposition to it. And how God challenged him, and how through the Holy Spirit God instructed him. She shared how Cornelius had received this visit from this angel of God, and how this angel of God had instructed him to go and send for Peter, right? Then Peter preaches the gospel, and the Holy Spirit is poured out, and Cornelius and all of his household are saved, right? I want you to notice something, because as Peter testified and as he witnessed, Peter led them to see the works of God from the beginning all the way to the end. You understand what I'm saying? Who could deny this? Who could deny this story? As Peter stands up there and speaks, and he says, listen to me, you circumcised believers. And that might not be the word he used. Come on. But God prepared this man Cornelius by sending him an angel because he prayed and gave, and those things that come up before God, right? And not only did he prepare Cornelius, but he prepared me. And then he orchestrated this divine intervention. Yes. So not only did he prepare and orchestrate, listen to me, he authenticated his work by pouring out the Holy Spirit. What a beautiful picture this is of what God is trying to show us here. Amen? Listen, God prepares, God orchestrates, God authenticates. The only thing left for me and you is to submit. You understand what I'm saying? We submit when God prepares and orchestrates and authenticates His Word. We then. What other choice do we have? Man, when you see a move of God, you get on your knees and you thank God for it. Amen? Because He wants you to see it. He wants you to know it. And He wants you to give Him honor and glory for it. That is what He is doing here in this story. Amen? And they both needed to learn something, didn't they? Did they not? What did Cornelius need to learn? He needed to learn who God was. The God who sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for him. And he also had to unlearn some things. that his prayers and his alms weren't going to get him to heaven. Right? And he had to relearn some things. Come on. Peter had learned some things. He was just staunch about what he believed. Right? So he had to unlearn that. And God had to show him how to relearn that, hey, it ain't about Jews and Greeks and Gentiles or male or female, that we're all one in Christ Jesus. Amen? All right, let's look at verse 17. This is one of my favorite verses in the whole thing, and it says this. So if God gave them the same... I love this, because if you put it in the understanding of he had just explained to these guys, probably with a lot of exclamation points, what God had done from beginning to end. Remember? And then he says this. So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?
Amen.
Picture this. Because he was standing in God's way. When that sheet came down from heaven and that voice of God spoke to him and he said, hey, rise up, kill, and eat. Peter said, I ain't doing it. Now listen, here's what happens when that happens. At that point, we step in front of God. You're not leading me there, God. You're not taking me there, God. Come on, surely not. I ain't doing it. And you and I get in God's way, and God wants to take us somewhere. He wants to show us something. But it's so far out of our box, out of our prejudice, out of what we can perceive ourselves to do, that we just get in God's way. Amen? But listen, what did Peter learn, unlearn and relearn here? Who am I to stand in God's way? If God wants to save a Gentile, who am I to stop him from saving a Gentile? Amen? All right. Number two here. And I capitalized the word. Gift. Right? Listen. So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believe, what gift was that? You know, the Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So here's what I want you to see, because this word gift, a gift is something you didn't earn. You didn't earn, right? It's something that somebody is offering to you. And in order for you to have it, all you have to do is what? Receive it. It is a gift, right? So I want you to think about something. Man, these Gentiles. Peter is saying, hey, man, he gave them the same gift he gave us. So when I read this, you know how my mind works. I picture this box. A gift-wrapped box. And I picture God giving it to them, right? And I picture them taking the lid off and looking in there, because what's in there? The Holy Spirit, salvation, eternal life is all in that word gift. You get that, right? Because the Holy Spirit brings with it what? Eternal life. Man. And not only that, but all the promises that God has made to his children. So this box, it may sound empty. Flesh-wise or material-wise or worldly-wise, it is empty. But spiritually, you can't get nothing else in it. That's how much God loves you. That's what God has done for you. And that's what God has given you. That gift, all you got to do is receive it. What a blessing, huh? Just to receive it. I like their reaction here. The reaction in verse 18a is this. And I give you a few different versions, because I do that sometimes, because I really want to paint a picture in my mind of really what their reaction is. So I gave you a few different versions. NIV, when they heard this, they had no further objections. Okay? ESV, when they heard these things, they fell silent. NASB, they quieted down. And then King James Version, they held their peace. So it gives me a whole different, a better perspective of when Peter's saying this. Who am I to stand in God's way? These guys, they got that look. right? They got that look. They quieted down, right? They had no further objections. So what are they doing right there? They're contemplating. Come on, that's what they're doing. Now listen, because I want you to see this. Here's what these circumcised believers are doing. They are reasoning with something they have learned. God is working with them to unlearn it and teaching them to relearn it. And what was that? That was that Gentiles are now accepted and given the Holy Spirit and given eternal life just like they were. You see what I'm saying? Right there at that moment, they're stopped. They got that look on their face. Right? Let me give you an example. When I talk about that look on their face, man, we all have those encounters, right? And I'm checking out of the store one time, and there's a person behind the counter, and I had this tattoo, and they said, well, what does your tattoo say? I said, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. You know, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. He's the only way to heaven. Well, that person behind the counter immediately speaks back, well, I believe there are many ways to heaven. Remember what I always tell you. If you listen very closely, you can tell where somebody is spiritually in the first 15 or 20 words when you're talking about spiritual things, okay? So immediately, my discerner went off. Immediately, I just wanted to grab the individual, to be honest with you. But, you know, you got to take those thoughts captive and those actions captive because... But what that told me was immediately, this person knows nothing about the Bible. Because if the Bible makes one thing clear, it is that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Why do I bring this story up? Because, man, and I really enjoy doing this. I already know they don't know anything about the Bible, so I don't got to tell them where it is, right? But I begin to speak the Word of God. I say, hey, Bible says there's no other name under heaven by which man must be saved. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. And by the way, it also says, and Jesus speaking his own words, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man gets to the Father except through me. Now, I know that came from three different books. But that person didn't know. And you know what I decided on that day? That fit together pretty dang good. Right? Even though it came from Hebrews, as well as Philippians, as well as John, right? But that when I said that, this person gave me that look. They had no further objections. They already knew. Yes, they fell silent. They kept their peace, right? So, and there was, of course, people now gathering in the line. So I gave them a card. I said, hey, if you want to know more, you know, come see me or give me a call. But that look, I know that look because I've seen that look before on people where somebody says something to you and you give them back the truth and they realize you really know the truth. So they don't want to say nothing else, right? That's the look that we're talking about here. And another thing they're doing, because Peter just did it, remember, from the beginning to the end. So they're putting themselves in Peter's position. I don't know how long this silence was. I don't know. All right? But they put themselves in Peter's position. And in that period of time, listen, it's maybe God is surely working as Peter is speaking and giving them the story and all the details. But I do know this. God took something that they had learned that, listen, was deeply ingrained in their very being and belief, right? Gave them the opportunity to unlearn that and relearn that. Now you say, Pastor, did they? Let's look at the rest of that verse and see what happens. It says in verse 18b, praised God, saying, so then even the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. Amen? Please don't miss that, man, who these circumcised believers are and what they were saying to Peter. You went into what? Whose house? Peter tells them the story. And everything they learned, God has shown them how to unlearn it and relearn the truth. Amen? I want to show you something else. This is very important. So then, even the Gentiles, God has granted what? Repentance that leads to life. Remember in Bible study I told you this morning that repentance is an essential part of salvation. Without true repentance, there is no salvation, because it is in true repentance. What is repentance? It means acknowledging who Jesus Christ is, acknowledging that you're a sinner, acknowledging that you have sins, giving those sins to Jesus Christ. And then repentance means what? Turning away from those sins. So yes, it is an absolute essential part in salvation. And we already talked about salvation also carries with it life. Not just life, eternal life. I love that word, eternal life, because there was a day in my life when I was headed to eternal death. And both are just as real as each other. Amen? All right. So this story tells us what to do when the Word of God, the will of God, and the Holy Spirit of God, come on, are all working together, pointing people to a different path or a different way of thinking. You follow me? It tells us when the truth of God and our own understanding comes to a crossroad, you need to drop the false notions. You need to humble yourself. Take up and accept what God says. Do you see that in this story? Because that's what those circumcised believers did. They weighed their traditions and their customs and their law, and they weighed it against the truth of God. And praise God, just like the Bible says, they praised God, and the truth won out. The truth won out. There's a good ending here, right? But I want you to think about something. We're going to see this in the upcoming chapters. Now you have a church of God, the body of Christ. Even though it's a good ending here, now you've got Jews, Samaritans, and Gentiles all in the same body. Come on. There's a lesson there too, because listen, all of you and me, we're different. We came from different backgrounds. We're raised up different, right? But here we are all together, meshed together with one understanding. This is one understanding that we all need. That we're here to serve and honor and glorify Jesus Christ. That's our number one goal. Amen? That's our number one goal. So we're going to look at some of the issues that they have coming up, particularly in chapter 15 and chapter 21. There are going to be some. But you know what? Sometimes we have some here. All right. So the truth are, you and I, there are things we need to learn, right? Come on. And there are also false assumptions that we need to unlearn. Come on. And then there's some things we need to relearn. I'm going to explain this to you in a minute, but I want to show you the principle that God has given us, because we have the advantage of having the whole Bible. So on a scale from 1 to 10, how passionate, as we read Peter's story, as we read him relate it to these circumcised believers from beginning to end, and let them know, who am I to stand in the way? On a scale from 1 to 10, how much do you think Peter believes that? Boy, it rings 10 in my ears. Man, Peter, do it. Stand up there. Tell them guys what's going on. And it worked. They became silent, and then they accepted and praised God, right? All right, I want to read you something, because here's what I want you to know. There's going to come a time later on when actually Paul has to reprimand Peter. Okay, follow me, because I'm going to read it to you, and then you'll see exactly what it is. And here's what it does. It goes against everything you and I just went over. Follow me. Galatians 2, 11 through 14. When Cephas, who's Cephas? When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him face to face. Paul is speaking here. And Peter comes to Antioch. It is Paul who opposes him face to face. Because he stood condemned. Talking about Peter. Why? For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. So wait a minute, Pastor. Are you telling me after everything God just showed Peter and the passion that he had in what he was saying, that he unlearned it? That's exactly what I'm telling you. Oh, he learned it. God showed it to him in a mighty, mighty way. But clearly over time, he began to unlearn it. And listen, here comes Paul, gets in his face and makes him relearn it. Do you understand what God is showing us here now? There are things in our life, your and my life, that we have learned that we need to unlearn and we need to relearn. You say, give me an example. I sure will. Some of you, perhaps, at once had an abundant, fruitful prayer life. Come on. And over time, it's just, you got apathetic, slacked off. Amen? And now you're not doing it much at all. Listen, you once had it because you learned it. And over time, you have unlearned it. But I'm right here, as that song says, I'm speaking the name of Jesus today that you might relearn it. Come on. Some of you, man, you used to open up your Bibles every day and you'd be filled with that Word of God as God spoke to you. But over time, right, you started falling by the wayside, started slipping. Now you might read every couple weeks or so. You know what? The devil has unlearned you. Come on. Oh, you played a part in it, but that's his goal. What you learned and how important it was, right? That the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You had unlearned. Well, again, I speak the name of Jesus, and today I pray that you relearn it. Amen? It works for everything. Listen, relationships, right? Let me tell you about relationships, because I meet people and I begin to try to understand them, right? I want to know who they are, all right? That's what I do. And I begin to learn about them. And sometimes I don't make good judgments. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? And really, I have to unlearn about those individuals or those people. And I have to have God show me how to relearn. Now, that can be good or that can be bad. Amen? Marriage. Just when I thought I learned, my wife reminds me there's some things I got to unlearn. And don't worry, she will show me how to relearn. Amen? Because men don't change. But you understand what I'm saying here? Listen, there's some things in your life you got to learn. There is. Right here, the truth. Right? But there's some things you got to unlearn too. Forget about those customs, those traditions and all those things, because this is the only thing that matters. Yes, there are disputable differences in the Bible. Absolutely. But man, there are things that just aren't true. Things that we've been taught that just aren't true. I remember when I was a young Christian, and these people came. You guys know where, most people in here know where I became a Christian at, right? In prison. But these people would come, and they were a different denomination than the ones who had led me to Christ. But they would come, and I would go to every service. I don't care who they were. They said Christian, I would go. But they said that they were going to lay hands on me. And I was going to receive fire. So, you know, I'm a young Christian. I want that fire. And as he began to go down the line, he said this first. He said, I have never put my hands on anybody who hasn't spoken in tongues when I did. But I'm a young Christian. I have no idea what he's talking about. Amen? So listen, I'm about number three in line, in this line of people. And I hear these other people. Blah, 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 blah. The next guy. Blah, 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 blah. So now it's my turn. What do I do? Blah, 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 blah. But listen, I learned that then. But listen, praise God, as I began to read His Word, He helped me unlearn that. Right? Speaking in tongues is a gift. It's a gift I don't have. If you have to make it up, then you ain't got it. If somebody has to teach it to you, you ain't got it. I'm just telling you, it is a gift of the Spirit, and it comes with the Spirit when you get your gifts. Amen? So I hope that helps kind of understand. There's some things that we really believe that really aren't true, that really aren't biblical. You know what I mean? Let me give you another example. Giving. You know, I don't preach a lot on tithing. My accountability group, my leadership, all tell me every single meeting, you need to tell people more about giving. I'm telling you now. All right? Maybe you learn to give. Come on. But over time, maybe the economic reasons, maybe because things out there are in a total disaster, and maybe it's because it's costing us $700 more a month on average than it did in 2019. Come on. But listen, none of that changes the precept or the commands of God. Amen? So maybe you learned that, but because of those reasons, you have unlearned that. Well, listen, I pray in the name of Jesus on you right now that you would relearn that. And listen, it ain't for my benefit. It's for your benefit. Because I'm telling you what, when that's the only place God says test Him in the Bible. Test me and see when I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing which you cannot contain, full measure over and running over. Man, and I'm here to testify. He's right on that. He's absolutely 100% true as far as that goes. So listen to me. Peter, he learned it. He was 100% on board, compassionate, passionate about it, preaching to them. Uncircumcised believers. And then what happened? Paul had to get in his face because he unlearned it. And listen, you don't think God sent Paul there to make Peter or help Peter relearn what God had already taught him once? Listen to me. That's how easy it is, people. I always say this. The more you miss church, the more you miss church. That has two meanings. Because the more you miss church, sometimes it's the more you just aren't here. But for me, the more I miss church, the more I miss being here. Just make sure that's the side you fall on. But not just with that principle, with every one of God's principles. Amen? Unlearn. Learn what you need to learn. Unlearn what you need to unlearn in your relationships with people. You need to unlearn the mindset that you have some kind of right to hold them in unforgiveness. You understand what I'm saying? You got to unlearn that. I don't know where the heck you learned it from. But I speak the name of Jesus that you might relearn today. Amen? You would not hold people in unforgiveness. And that ain't about them. That's about you. So this principle, learn, unlearn, and relearn, has many, many different avenues and many different applications in our life. Amen? Maybe I'll get a shirt made. It'll be a conversation piece, wouldn't it? All right, if you would, stand with me. Thank you guys so much for being here. And we're going to Mexico. You got to be quick on your feet up here. You never know what's going to happen. I am grateful for each of you. Thankful that you're here, man. All we did today was really just go through the Word of God. That's what the Word of God says, and pull out some things. And God, I never seen that before. What happened to Peter, man? But listen, if it can happen to Peter, what does the Bible say in 1 Corinthians 10:12? It says, you think you stand? Be careful lest you fall. Amen? When you think you're standing the strongest, that's when you're most vulnerable to fall. That pride. Right? May God work in you how He worked in Peter for the things in your life today that you need to relearn. And may He use, if necessary, just as He did with Peter, a brother or sister to get in your face. Because when a brother or sister gets in your face to correct something that is ungodly in your life, there's only one reason they're doing it. Why? Because they love you. That's why. Praise God, I got people that will get in my face. Huh? That's most of you in here, by the way. But I'm not scared. If I'm doing something wrong, get in my face. Amen? Just take a mint or something, will you? Church should be fun. Right? I love you guys. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, that's the most important thing. That is why we as a church exist, to be a witness and testify to the goodness, the forgiveness, and the cross of Calvary, where Jesus died and paid the penalty for the sins of mankind, yours included. Amen? So if you haven't ever accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, you get with me after the service, and I will certainly explain to you what you need to do. Okay? Father, as we come to you, I just thank you so much for who you are today. I thank you for your word, and Father, I thank you for not letting me pass up these 18 verses, Lord. And Father, today there are people here, all of us, where there are things we need to learn. And Lord, there are people here that even come to my mind that I know there are things in their life they need to unlearn. And Father, if they'll understand that, then they'll open the door to relearn what it is you want them to know. Father, my greatest prayer this morning is for us as believers, is that we would absolutely acknowledge, we would understand, Lord, that spiritual growth, maturity, becoming more like you, Lord, that we have to learn and we have to unlearn and we have to relearn. Father, show us in our mind, in our heart, those things in our lives, Lord, that this applies to. I know that's all of us, Lord. I just pray that people would do exactly what your Holy Spirit says as we open up this time. Maybe they have a loved one they need to pray for. Maybe you have revealed something in their heart, Lord, that they have unlearned over time, but today you want them to relearn it. Oh, that they would come and speak the name of Jesus. For whatever your Spirit tells them to do, Lord, we open up this time of invitation. And it is absolutely to honor and glorify you. We love you, Lord. We do. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you need to come forward and pray about anything,